It is time for the In the Studio show with Captain Hatcher. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, G-Wagon. How are you?
Doing well.
So, again, no giant scores today.
No giant scores.
A little disappointed. Can you, I might want to talk to the AFN manager.
That's Fox Sports. I'll get in touch with this Fox Sports guy.
Okay.
Maybe he'll help us out.
All right. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start off with a few announcements today.
Mm-hmm.
So today at 11 o'clock, we have the Women's Equality Luncheon. Should be a good time. Excited to get over there and get some good food. Quality of Life meeting today at 15:30. So get over there, get your voice heard, make everybody's life here better on the island. Lots of great MWR activities this weekend. Again, it is Labor Day weekend, so they got some great stuff going on. Kicking off Friday evening on the softball tournament. That's 1800 over at Field 2. The officers will look to defend their back-to-back titles. Can't wait to get out there and play. Sprint triathlon Saturday at 8:30. Sunday, 20K jackpot. Bingo. Ooh. 1800.
Bingo bonanza.
I know. That's a lot of cash.
Have you ever been to a bingo bonanza before?
I have not, but I have it on my calendar, and I think I'm going to head over there.
You're going to have to go over there early. I'm just like warning all the people who have never done bingo bonanza before. When they say the doors open at 4, get there at 4. I went once, and every single room in the Turner Club was full.
Okay. And I hear you probably should buy your tickets ahead of time.
Yes.
Limited seating.
Yes. There's tons of people standing most of the time.
Yeah. I see AO shaking her head. She's probably got like how many sets of tickets or cards? Two sets of cards. She's excited. I know she's a big bingo player.
$10.
Monday, I'm looking forward to this. There's going to be a Labor Day bike ride at 11 o'clock, riding out to the tower, and then back to Jake's place for a 12 o'clock picnic. So everybody's invited out there for the picnic at Jake's place at 12 o'clock. Should be a great time. We are looking to do the ribbon cutting to officially reopen Jake's place at 1300 on Friday. So the deck out there is done. Looks great. Amazing job by the CBs getting that knocked out, so truly appreciative of that. Other big news coming up, the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd of September, Armed Forces Entertainment will be coming out. A reggae band, Kalandi and the Runners. So I think that'll be some amazing shows, and I'm really looking forward to that. Again, I mentioned this at quarters last weekend, but thanks to everybody's participation in Citadel Pacific and the IM team. A lot of great training involved there, and I think it definitely made us better. We have a CART coming up next week. It was supposed to go this week. We've been struggling through some flight delays. Looks like the aircraft is fixed, and we'll be heading inbound today, drop off some mail and some cargo. And then we'll be looking to get back on track with our PAX movements. So that security team will be looking to arrive out here on the 1st of September. So keep security on your mind. They'll be going through their inspection over the weekend. Security really never gets a day off. They are working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they will be beginning their inspection this weekend. So more to follow on that as the schedule shifts around. But we will be looking to do our integrated training event. Right now it's tentatively scheduled for Wednesday next week, and we'll be looking to do the brief for that on Tuesday. So we'll need some people involved in that. So G-Wagon, I think that's the big announcements. I don't think I'm forgetting anything. CMC might jump on me if I forgot something, but I think I got the big ticket items. So a lot of great fun going on this weekend. A lot of great events being put out by MWR. So get out there, have some fun, have some good food, get some exercise, win some cash. I think it's going to be super exciting.
Yes, sounds like a fun weekend for sure.
Yeah. So I was originally going to have CMC on today. This is his last full week here on the island. His pack out got delayed a little bit, so he was unable to make it on the show. So if you see CMC, shake his hand, say thank you. He is moving on to Guam next week. Our PCMC was scheduled to be out here a few days ago. She's part of these delays. She'll be arriving more than likely on the 1st. So if you see her around, welcome her to the island. Show her some DG love, and we look forward to getting her on board. But, of course, we're sad that CMC is leaving. But I think we got a good show today. We've got I'm surrounded in the studio here by some female power brokers on the island. I don't even need to say their name, but we got YN3, NCC, AO, COSEC, and, of course, G-Wagon. So I look forward to talking to you all, especially when you're honoring Women's Equality today as part of the Diversity Committee's monthly event here. So let's get it going here, all right? We'll see who wants to take the first question here. So why did you join the Navy? I think AO's jumping on this grenade here right now.
Is it
right
now?
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, everyone. So I joined, sir, to be like my dad. And so I am very close to my family. And it was my dad deployed a lot. He was in the Navy. And every time he came home, he had a smell to him. And I didn't know it then. I only thought it was dad. And it was turned out to be the flight deck carrier. And so that's when I knew that that's where I wanted to be, was to be like dad.
Okay. So was it the metal smell?
Yes.
That you're used to now, like when you come home and you go to put on a shirt in your closet and you're like, wow, it smells like metal.
That's home.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, sir.
I think many people know that smell and are pretty familiar with it. But YN3, I don't know if you're familiar with that smell yet, right?
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay, so 2 years in the Navy, right?
Yes, sir.
Here on Diego Garcia. So tell us why and how you ended up in the United States Navy.
So I moved to the United States in 2016. I was born and raised in Guyana. It's in South America. And I joined the Navy because I wanted to travel and go to school.
Okay.
Without paying. So I found out that the Navy was the easiest way to do that. And I actually just got accepted into the cybersecurity program with the United States Naval Community College. So, yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. So I understand you are the first person, obviously, in your family to be in the military.
Yes, sir. I am.
Okay. So how'd that conversation go with your parents? Hey, Mom and Dad, I want to join the Navy.
My mom was very supportive. My dad as well. But my grandparents and aunts and uncle, they were all against it. So it was very challenging. Some of my family members stopped talking to my mom because they thought that she was choosing the cheaper way out of, like, just having me join so she didn't have to pay for college. But that was never the case. I wanted to join. It was my choice. My mom had nothing to do with it. So it was very challenging. But now everyone is so happy that I'm in the military. So
that's great. That's great. So they're seeing the benefits. You're able to get some schooling. A cybersecurity program sounds like a great program.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure you talked to NCC about that a few times.
I have. Yeah. I needed her signature for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're a trailblazer.
Trying to be, sir.
Okay, that's awesome. So there's a lot of that still going on in the United States. We are still working on women's equality. We've made a lot of progress, but we still have a long ways to go. Okay? So NCC, how did you end up in the Navy?
I was in a class. I can't remember what class it was, but I was talking to a friend, and she said she had just joined the Navy. So then I started inquiring, and I actually was the one that reached out to the recruiter. I didn't know anything about the military at all. But I knew that I wanted to get free education because I definitely was, as soon as I started working at 16, my parents stopped providing any money for me. And I knew I wasn't gonna be able to afford college without having a lot of debt. So that is really why I joined the Navy, to go to school, get my degree. And then I also probably had some personal issues at home that maybe I just wanted to get away. So definitely helped. And I think I'm the only one in my family who's actually left Texas and has done a lot more than just be at home. And yeah, so that's how I ended up in the Navy.
Yeah, they didn't want you to mess with Texas, right?
No.
Yeah. All right, so obviously you have not been an NC your entire career. So what did you start out doing in the Navy?
I came in as a bosun's mate.
Okay.
So I did that for, I don't know, like 12 years. So it was interesting. I love the community, but I just knew that that's not the job that I wanted to do long term.
Okay. So you put in the application, become a career counselor?
Yeah. So essentially, maybe like 2 years after I joined, I had always been some type of career counselor, like divisional career counselor, departmental. And then I had been trying to submit my package for several years, but my community was very locked, was closed, because we were undermanned. And finally, I found the opportunity, or when I converted to chief, or when I picked up chief, my CMC was like, hey, you're going to be the command career counselor because we're gapped. So after that, I mean, my package was pretty strong, and my rate, I guess, was overmanned, and they released me. So it just, yeah, so it worked out. At the end, it worked out.
Okay. Well, it's great having you here. I love having an NCC because of the, you know, just the experience that, you bring to the table in the Navy. Overall, allows you to provide a lot more insight to the sailors. So, yeah, you're definitely doing great things here, and we love having you on board.
Thank you, sir.
All right, so our other female sailor in the studio, G Wagon.
Yes.
I know we've talked a few times on the show, so remind everybody, why or how did you end up joining the Navy?
Well, my dad was also in the Navy. He was a lieutenant in the Navy, and so he always kind of inspired me to go after my dreams, whatever they were. And right as it was coming time to graduate, and all my friends were signing up for colleges and stuff, and I was like, I don't think I want to do that. And so instead of signing up for college, I went to the recruiter and signed up for the Navy. And I also just got accepted into the USNCC program for operational leadership.
Oh, awesome.
So I'll be working on that degree this fall, and I'll actually be the first one in my family to, the first female in my family to get a degree. So.
Okay. That you're a trailblazer again. So I remember I was talking a few weeks ago. So when you signed up to the Navy, you had some stipulations, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And what were those stipulations?
I didn't really want to be on a boat, which I didn't think about before I joined the actual Navy. I also, like, you always hear the horror stories of, oh, women shouldn't join the Navy. You're literally signing yourself up for all of these bad things. And so I was just cautious because I lived in a really small rural town, wasn't exposed to that kind of stuff. So I was nervous. And honestly, my fears have been, like, kind of dimmed down. Like, I'm not as worried anymore. I've joined the community of the Navy, and it's kind of just like a big family. Everybody's like willing to work with you and be nice, and so it's been good.
That's good. That's awesome. All right, so we also have one more female on the island, probably the biggest power broker on the island.
Yes.
Mary Lou. All right, so Mary Lou, I had to drag her over here. She told me I could not ask her any hard questions. So we're going to start with an easy one and ease her in. Okay. So Mary Lou, understand you have had 17 previous COs. I am your 18th.
Oh.
So you've been on the island at least 18 years, right? So tell us how you ended up here on Diego Garcia in your current position.
I came here on the island in the year 1996. I am the breadwinner of the family, so I really have a high esteem for the Navy, and I love to work for the Navy, so I tried hard to get a job here. First, I worked as a clerical assistant in Harbor Ops for 6 months upon arrival, and then after that, I was hired as an office manager in the Navy MWR. I worked there for 8 years. I was in charge of the admin department, and the entertainment and the travel and tours in that area. And so I have quite an experience there, and but I love changes. So when the position in the front office opened, I applied for it, and luckily I got the job. And so I'm here, and the rest is history.
Okay, that's awesome. So I'm not going to ask you, like, who your favorite CEO was, because I don't think I want to know the answer. So it is pretty amazing. You've worked with a lot of different people here on the island. So, yeah. You know, we're generally here for one-year tours. You know, occasionally people will extend for another year. How is that process for you, like seeing so many different people come onto the island? Is it, do you enjoy meeting new people? Is it hard saying goodbye all the time? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I enjoyed meeting a lot of people, but when it's time to bid goodbye, that's the hardest part for me, because like in that office, once I know the CEO and the XO already, I have already established rapport with them and worked with them for the whole year. And then it's time for them to say goodbye. And that's where I felt like I'm being left behind again on this island and this work. But I have I always take it in a positive way. So every CEO that comes to that office is always special to me. I mean, I got to work to the CEO directly and establish a rapport first. And not only that, for everybody in the office and in admin and even in the bridge side of the house. So I'm being very flexible in that area. So, but I'm a very sentimental person, but sometimes I cannot help but be sad when they leave the island.
Sure.
Yeah. Plus, I've been here for the past 25 years, and because this is my bread and butter, sir, so I have to persevere and come back every time to support the family back home. But I love Diego Garcia because this is my second home away from home. Mm-hmm. So this place is also very special to me.
Yeah. And you're very special to us.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciative of everything that you do here on the island. All right, so I know you're looking forward to December.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on in December?
December, that is my two-year mark already on the island that haven't been home. Mm. So I plan to go home in December and spend time with my family, and also oversee some, you know, I have a little house in Cavite, so I'm very excited to see them and spend some time and have fun with them.
Eat some good food.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and enjoy good food. Enjoy good food, Skipper.
Well, I tell you what, I've only been to one OG potluck, and that was some pretty dang good food, I have to say.
Oh, yeah.
You know, are you saying that you're going to get something a little bit better back home?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, she's not lying.
Yes, because or we different. Have more fresher produce there, ingredients, and here, you know.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
But
you know.
Still, we strive to make it delicious when we
sure.
prepare food here.
Yeah.
We tried our best, whatever we can get from the ship store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I usually ask the guests that come on board, you know, what's your favorite meal back home? What's the first meal that you're going to get when you leave Diego Garcia? So you're leaving in December for a little while, but what is the first meal that you're going to have when you get back to the Philippines?
I want to eat, prohibited food for me. Like lechon, I want to try it, but... Of course, always in moderation. Mm-hmm. And the halo-halo, you know, the like a shaved ice with a lots of ingredients in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So is it like the, do you know, is it the same kind of shaved ice, like Hawaiian shaved ice with like
different flavored
syrups
on top of it?
Is we that don't choose the syrup, but they have this condensed milk and a lot of fruits in there, like plantain. There's plenty in there. That's why even the famous Anthony Bourdain, if you know him.
Sure, yeah.
He tried that halo-halo in the Philippines, and he said that he will be coming back for more for that. Yeah.
Sounds pretty
and
good.
And we have a lot of palatable foods in the dish in the Philippines, too. So, I mean, I'm inviting you guys to come over and visit the Philippines.
Oh, that sounds pretty enticing. We'll have to look into our schedules here. So okay, so women's equality, all right. We're going to discuss this a little bit at our luncheon at 11 o'clock. So I have three active duty sailors here in the room, females. I'm obviously not a female. But so I don't necessarily understand the struggles that some of you have possibly gone through in your lives or in the Navy. So any big challenges that you faced in your life or in your careers here in the Navy, just being a female sailor?
So like I previously mentioned, I came in as a bosun's mate, and that is very male dominant rate. So when I came in, there was maybe only like two females in my division. So it was definitely a struggle, because you have the males that would constantly question you, or if something, if you got promoted or you got the EP or whatever the case is, they would always have comments like, you must have done this, or you didn't work hard, or X, Y, and Z. But that was obviously never the case. I think maybe the male ego sometimes. Fortunately, though, I never had to deal with any type of harassment or anything like that. But definitely my leadership was questioned because I was a female, or what I did, or, you know, any little thing, it was questioned, like, you know. And so I definitely did go through some struggles when I first came in as a junior sailor. Obviously, as I got higher in rank, I would shut it down. But I still dealt with it, not to that extent as a junior sailor, but yeah, definitely still go through that.
Yeah, it's got to be a challenge, and something that I personally have never had to experience, just, you know, based on the sex I was born, you know, so to speak. So, Ayo, I know you look like you're reaching for the mic, so what kind of challenges have you had as a female?
Fortunately, so there's nothing that actually comes to mind. I feel like I've been pretty blessed, pretty fortunate. I would say probably the only thing that comes to mind right away, so I mentioned my dad is the reason why I joined, and so there was four of us growing up, and so the choices was always college or the Navy. And so after I graduated and I told him I'm going in the Navy, he said, no, that's not, you're not gonna do that. And I said, well, no. I'm good with it. And I said, I'm going to be an ABE, like you. Dad was an ABE. He said, no, ABEs are not for females. That is a dirty job, and you will never sleep. So you will go in as an OS. So that's probably the only time, I think, that it comes to mind that I can remember that has been a conflict for me.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure you weren't an OS, right?
I actually was.
Oh, you converted to a PS then?
I sure did, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I learned something new today.
Yes. So I listened to Dad, and I said, okay, I can go in OS. So I did that. I was exactly like he said. I was in a clean environment. I had AC, but I didn't sleep. So I was port and starboard on a DDG, so that's where I had to figure my life out. And passing the mess decks on a DDG, I always saw admin playing dominoes and spades. And I was like, whoa, what is that life? So in 2013, I put in my package. It was PTS back then. And I was willing to get out of the Navy if I couldn't pick up a PS quota. And sure enough, I got it, thank goodness. So I, okay. Yes.
That's great. PS. So I've worked with a lot of OSs in my career, Aztecs that are controlling, and, you know, we go into combat quite a bit for briefs and whatnot. So it seems like OSs are known for bringing a lot of snacks on to watch. So, I mean, what's your favorite? What was your favorite snack that you would take in, you know, to eat in the middle of the night to keep you awake and keep you looking at that radar screen?
When I figured out how to make sweet tea, like back at home, I would make me some of that before going on watch. I'd make me some nice, yummy, delicious Texas sweet tea. And speaking of snacks, if you come up to my office, on my bottom drawer, I do have a drawer full of snacks.
I do notice there
cookies
is
cookies and candies.
Yeah, so immediately when you walk into admin, on the right is a little candy jar there. So I love stopping by there, seeing what the new candy is, and probably taking too much that I shouldn't eat.
Never too much, sir.
So you bring up sweet tea. So NCC from Texas. I'm guessing you got a pretty strong opinion about sweet tea and tea in general, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what's your favorite? Do you go sweetened tea or you going unsweet?
I'm going sweet tea.
You're going sweet
tea.
I'll
take the sugar.
Okay. I like it. G-Wagon.
Also from Texas. Yeah. I do both. I'm not going to lie. My dad is a very big unsweet tea guy, so that's all we had in the house. But my sister-in-law is super sweet tea girl, right? So she would make the sweetest sweet tea ever, and I fell in love with it. And here on DG, we don't have regular sweet tea. We just have unsweet. So I go for a combo and do an Arnold Palmer.
Ooh.
I mix the lemonade.
Yeah. That's pretty good. So I will say at a couple MWR events, it might have just been on the, you know, Captain's Cup when they have the two drink dispensers. I know the last two times at least they've had sweet tea there. And it's been pretty good. So there is occasionally some sweet tea here on the island.
Yes.
I don't know if it's up to Texas standards.
No.
Probably not.
No.
Okay. We'll see about that. Wyan 3, what are your thoughts on sweet tea?
So I'm actually not a big fan of sweet tea. I grew up with coconut water.
Okay.
That was a big thing in Guyana. So, yeah, I do not like sweet tea. I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay.
Okay. So growing up in Kansas, sweet tea, not really a big thing. But I've spent a decent amount of time, you know, in Florida now as part of my career in Texas. So I've had some good sweet tea. I have to say I'm a fan. You know, as I grow older, trying to eat a little healthier, drink a little healthier. So I've gone to just unsweet tea. So I'm sorry if that offends anybody in this room.
But we understand.
Yeah. So I do love a good Starbucks black tea. I usually go with the unsweet, but it is, it has been nice on the island to have some sweet tea here and there. So
yes.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mary Lou, have you ever had sweet tea?
Yeah, but I prefer sweet tea with a pineapple.
With a pineapple?
Yeah.
Like a chunk?
No, the juice.
Oh,
no,
the juice.
It's being mixed on
so,
that.
So instead of an Arnold Palmer where it's mixed with lemonade, you're mixing your tea with pineapple
that
juice.
Good.
Yeah.
Does that have a name?
Pineapple tea.
Pineapple tea. We'll call it the Mary Lou. How about that?
Ooh.
We just created it.
Like
we
that.
Created a drink
a
right here. In the studio.
You have to try.
We got to make this go viral somehow.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
G-Wagon, can you
I'll figure
something?
Out something. Okay. I'll make a graphic. We'll put it out there.
Okay. And the Mary Lou.
It has been sold in PK and all over.
Really?
Yeah.
In PK, like right now, if I go to PK, I can order one.
That's my favorite. You can order. Okay. You can order, sir.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
I've learned several things today. I don't know if I've become smarter, but I've learned a couple of things.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk. Let's move a little bit different direction. So, as a male in the United States Navy, I am lucky to have a spouse that is able to stay home with the kids. You know, here on Diego Garcia for a year, it is tough being away as a dad from the kids. But I think there's a different connection between a mom and kids. So we have one mom in the studio here, AO, Warrant Officer Foley. So tell us, how is it being, one, a female and a mom in the Navy when you're separated for significant periods of time from your kids?
Well, that's a good question. So I have been very fortunate, Skipper. out of my four kids, I've only ever had to leave, up until now, I've only ever had to leave my oldest boy, who's now 15, and that was for a six-month deployment. So since then, my sea duties have been squadrons, and they don't send senior admin on deployments. So my sea duty, I got to stay home guard. So this being my real first one to leave my 15, 11, 3, and 2-year-old, it's a little different, but I'm a different kind of breed. I try not to, I have their picture in my office, and I have their pictures in my room, and that's it. I like to just look at their pictures, and that's just, I just know that they're there. And mm-hmm. So it is different because, right, I'm not having to hurry home and do dinner and do homework. And so you guys heard me say I have four kids and then I got a dog. So I'm used to a loud house. So the fact that I go back to my room and it's quiet, my TV gets loud and my radio gets loud to help with the noise. it is different. But I am glad that I am able to show the kids that I can still be mom and I can still hold a career and I still go to school. I'm actually enrolled in school. So you can really do anything that you want to do. Mm-hmm. And that is really important to show. So my mom was a stay-at-home mom for years. And she stayed home and supported my dad in all his tours. So I was very fortunate to have that. And so I do feel a little guilty every now and then when I think about how great my mom was. Mm-hmm. Is. So that's why it makes me do it a little bit more work to show them that you can still be amazing and still do everything you need to do or want to do.
Yeah. So let's go a tough question here, right? So I'm going to throw this on YN3, okay? So I think females account for about 23% of the personnel in the Navy. Last I saw it, it might have changed a little bit, but so that leaves 77% roughly of the population in the Navy is male. So YN3, when you come in and you're here at Diego Garcia, your previous AO was a female, your new AO here is a female. What kind of experience is that for you, having a role model, having a department head that is the same gender as you, being a smaller population in the Navy?
For me, it just shows that I can achieve that as well. Like, if they can do it, that means I can do it as well. And both of my previous AOs being chief, I love that because my goal is, I do want to be a chief. I want to be a part of the chief's mess. And however, I don't want to stay there for a very long time. So my goal is to go warrant officer. And just the fact that they can do it in such a short time frame, it just shows me that I can accomplish that as well. And it's good to have females there. You know, and see, especially like with AO being a mom, like I do want to have a family. And I always thought about that, I don't know, I feel like it's going to be challenging to have kids and leave them to go on deployment. But she's doing it right now, so why can't I do it?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
That's great. And so I love that you're able to experience that with Warrant Officer Foley here. You've got other great leaders in the mess too, right? So there's a lot of females in our chief's mess, and so I think that's some fantastic opportunities for leadership, mentorship. You can pick their brains, you can get those tips, the struggles they went through, the issues that they've had, so you don't necessarily have to struggle with that. So mm-hmm. They can help you avoid some of those pitfalls.
I'm sure you always see me in AO's officer. I'm always asking questions.
Always.
That's good. Yeah, there's lots of chuckles about that, right? So G-Wagon.
Yes.
Who is your female role model in life?
I'm going to say my mom. So my mom actually recently adopted me. She's my stepmom. So she came into my life when I was 3 years old and kind of showed me what it was like to be a strong woman. She had raised two kids on her own, completely bankrupt, worked three, four jobs to pay the bills, keep the lights on, and make sure they had a good life. And then she got to the point where she was able to do all of those things on her own. And she really showed me what it's like to go after your dreams, and whether it's hard or not, you can still do it. And just to be positive, and no matter what, like, not to be like whatever, but she's, you don't need a man to show you how to do it. You can do it by yourself. And you can do all of the things that you want and still be a mother and still have a career and be a strong, independent woman. Even if you do have a husband, even if you do have a spouse, you can be strong and independent on your own. And she really showed me that. And I'm lucky to have her in my life every day.
That's great. Sounds like an awesome person to be around. And I'm sure you had some great conversations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Over to you, Chief NCC. So who has been your biggest female role model in your life?
In where, sir?
In your life.
In my life? I would say my mom and my sister. My mom, because she's a hustler. Like, she was a stay-at-home mom, then she divorced my dad. She hasn't really worked, but she's always providing. She always has money. I don't ask the questions, but we didn't ever went without anything. And then my sister, I mean, I left the house, my brother left the house, and she was the only one left. And I mean, she held it down. She's been taking care of my dad. She has two kids now, and she's a baby. But she's just awesome. I love her. But yeah, she just definitely took care of my dad, because my dad's going through a lot. So she's taken a huge responsibility. So.
Okay. Great answer. Ayo. Who has been the biggest or most important female role model in your life?
All right. So my mom comes to mind as my number one. I mean, she has definitely made me who I am, along with my dad. They've definitely – I wish you could meet them. They're amazing. but definitely my mom. She was stay-at-home, so everything mom – is me. But career-wise, I have to pay my respects to YNC retired LaTanya Smith. She was my first female chief, actually, and my first admin chief. And she definitely instilled in me so many great things that I could not wait to pass on. She's back in Virginia, and she was there for when I got pinned, and then when I put on my bars, she was there for me. So, amazing woman, just amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, YN3, biggest, best female role model in your life?
Easy, my mom.
Okay. Why your mom?
Because my mom proved to me that she's always going to be there for me. I was very rude growing up. I was a bad kid. Really. And there wasn't at any point that my mom said, no, I'm okay, I'm done with you, leave. Like, you can get kick me out of the house or anything. Like, my mom was always there. She whooped my ass all the time. I got beat a lot, but my mom never left me. And when my parents got separated, my mom moved to the States, and I was living with my dad for like 3 months, and she wanted me to move to the States, but I refused. I was like, I'm not leaving my dad. And she moved back to Guyana because she was like, I'm not leaving you. So she just continuously proves that she will never leave me. She's always going to have my back.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to meet her sometime. All right, Mary Lou, over to you. Who has been your biggest female role model in life?
I think my biggest role model in life is my mother, my mom, who is always there for me, even in my lowest point in my life. She's always there for me to give me a lot of advices in life, teaches me the lessons in life that needs to be learned. And she is really the person I'm always looking up to, who take care of us kids. We are six in the family, and I have only one sister, so she passed away already. But I remember her, but whenever I go home to Mindanao, there are always crisp linen in my bed. I can smell it, and I went with her to the market to buy some food. She will always cook the food that I like, and she will always put food in my in my plate, and she will eat. Your face is like a spoon, very tiny. You have to eat. My mom always take care of me, and I really salute to her, sir.
Okay. Sounds like a wonderful person.
I miss her. I love her so much.
Aww. Everybody's sad here. Okay. On that sad note. So CMC able to make it over here. He just stepped into the studio. We got a few minutes left. He's leaving the island next week. So just wanted to get him on the air one final time before we do the question of the week. So CMC, you know, I think I voice what everybody on the island would say. Thank you for your dedication over the past 13 months. Thank you for sticking around here an additional month to ensure that we didn't have any gap in the position. The leadership that you have provided here, I don't even know how to describe it, but you are a role model for everybody here on the island. What you do day in and day out for the sailors and the OGs, you know, it can't be overstated. I couldn't ask for a better CMC to welcome me onto the island, to get me through my first couple months. I'm truly appreciative. I'm going to turn it over to you. You can give us your final thoughts on what you want to leave to the community here on Diego Garcia.
Sir, all I can say is it's been a joy and a privilege to be here. I've been honored every day to be the CMC for the installation. Everyone has welcomed me with open arms, treated me as if I was family. It's definitely hard to leave just because of the camaraderie and, like I said, the family that I feel here. It's an amazing place. People who have the opportunity to come to Diego Garcia, I'd say they're lucky. People who have the opportunity to come to Diego Garcia and don't make it, it's their loss. They don't know what they're missing if they don't actually come here to the island and witness it firsthand. It's been, like I said, just a privilege and an honor to serve, and thank you.
Okay. Thank you, CMC. So before you put the mic down here, what is the one thing that you are going to miss the most about Diego Garcia?
By far, the people. Like I said, everyone has welcomed me with open arms from day one, from the first day I arrived at the terminal, every day on the job, everywhere you go, everyone has a smile on their face. You ask them how they're doing, they tell you they're doing great, even though they may not be doing great, but that's what they exude. They exude pride in the job that they do. And that's one of the things that I'll definitely miss.
Okay. Well, we're all going to miss you here on the island. You have definitely made myself and everybody here better for knowing you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
I hope we stay in touch, and I wish you the best of luck in Guam on your next tour.
Thank you, sir.
Sure. All right. On that sad note, I've got time real quick to get in the trivia question, okay? So I'll say the last couple weeks is kind of a struggle. No one was able to get the correct answer. So we're going to dial it down half a notch, okay? See if we can get some good answers here. And it's not going to be a seven-part answer, so to speak. This one I think will be fairly easy to research anyway. Somebody might know it off the top of your head. No one here in the studio has seen this question, so you're all eligible.
Okay.
If you know the answer, please email myself, the CMC, and the XO. Have to have all three on there to get credit for the correct answer. Here we go. In what year was the Voting Rights Act signed into law, giving all women the right to vote, and who was the president that signed it? All right, so one more time. What year was the Voting Rights Act signed into law, giving women the right to vote, and who was the president that signed it? Again, if you know the answer, email myself, CMC, and XO. That's all I got, G-Wagon. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, sir, and thank you, ladies, for joining me. I've had so much fun with y'all in the studio here.